What I want to do today is I want to do a little mini series that will lead us into September, where we'll have a big series for about 8 weeks on the Beatitudes. I can't wait for that. But today I just want to start a little series, some thoughts, and the name of the series that we're going to look into for the next couple weeks is called Barriers. Barriers. Everybody just say barriers. What's a barrier? A barrier is something that keeps us from what we may, we may be over here, and but there's a barrier here and that's keeping us from something over here, okay? That's simply a barrier. And in this series, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at four different barriers that can keep us from God's will for our lives. Don't raise your hand, but think to yourself, do I really want God's will for my life? You may be here today and you may say, well, that doesn't interest me. I'm not at that place spiritually. But let me put it this way. How many people want to be at that place where there's true fulfillment in life, in victory? And so what I want to talk about, what are these barriers that can keep us from God's will, from experience life the way God intended for it to be? So what are some of those barriers? So I think there's things that can keep us from what God wants. And we're going to talk about those. So we're going to talk about, first of all, I want to begin today talking about God's will. Okay. You know, people come to me and they say, Mike, what's God's will for my life? College kids a lot will say, what's God's will? And it usually means for a job, for a career, where I should live, where I should move, do this, do that. And that's important. Don't get me wrong. I think that's real important. But I also think there's things that are the big rocks, the big deals, that are God's will for every single person. Meaning, this is God's will for you. I want to share two things today that are God's will for you, regardless of how you were brought up, where you were brought up, your race, whatever. How much money? These are God's wills for you. Two things. Number one comes from 2 Peter 3:9. It says that God is patient with you. He's not wanting anyone to perish. How many people know that's an amazing God? He's not wanting anyone to perish, but he's wanting everyone to come to a place of repentance. He's wanting no one to perish and spend eternity away from him or this life away from him. But he's wanting everyone to come to this place of repentance, meaning we come to a place of relationship with God. So let me say this, and I'll just say this in layman's terms. I believe God's will for every person that walks the face of the earth, 6.8 billion people, God's will is that they come to a place of salvation. He's not wanting any to perish. He wants everyone to become a part of his family, a believer, a Christian. Is everybody cool with that? That's what God wants for the person you think is the most awful person in the world. God wants them to come to Christ. Amen? Amen. Second thing that God wants for every person, and this is really the one we're going to look at more extensively throughout this series, it comes from Romans 8:29. It says, it's on the screen, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like who? Everybody say it. His son, Jesus. So I believe God's will is this. He wants everyone to become a Christian. It's a new birth. It's a new birth, a new spiritual birth. And then after that, there's this process that God wants you as a believer, as a Christian, he wants you to more and more each and every day to become like Christ. Another way of putting this is God's will for your life is spiritual growth. I want you to think about that for a minute. Everybody think about that right now. Do you believe that God wants you to grow spiritually? It's not just for pastors and not just for deacons. It's not just for evangelists. God wants you. God wants you to grow. After you come to faith in Christ, you're now a new creation. You're a baby, spiritual baby. He wants you to grow up. And the picture is he wants you to be like his son, Jesus Christ, okay? But I want to let you know that's not going to come without opposition. It's not going to come without opposition. There's going to be some barriers. There's going to be some barriers, believe me, that get in your way that prevent you from becoming more like Christ. And what I want to do is I want to touch on four of those barriers that often keep people from growing up. And our goal in this series is that we'll push those barriers aside so that I can look more like Jesus. Heather can look more like Jesus. Troy can look more like Jesus. Are you with me this morning? Because when we're more like Jesus, we're going to impact the world for who? For Jesus. And it's going to be a great place, okay? So we're going to look at those barriers. And to get started, and these are in no order of importance because I think they're all important. We just had to have a place to start. And that is the first barrier that keeps many people from growing up, the barrier that keeps many people from becoming more like Jesus is this. Hold on tight. Your thoughts. Everybody just say that. My thoughts. Your thoughts, right between these two ears, the things you think can prevent you, can be a major barrier from you growing up. My belief is you're still a believer, you're still a Christian, but you're missing out in the fullness of what God has for you. There's a barrier that's been established in your thought life. One great writer of old said, the battle mind for our souls is often right here. The battlefield is our mind, okay? So what we need to do is we need to learn how to get rid of what I want to call in this series, toxic thinking. Don't raise your hands, but how many people think you might be dealing with some toxic thinking? I like the way Joyce Meyer says, she says, you need to get rid of what? Everybody knows, let's say it. You got to get rid of the stinking thinking. Because if you continue to have stinking thinking, you're going to have a stinking, maybe life. I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, what do you think? So we got to be very careful that the biggest barrier that can keep us from growing up in Christ is our stinking thinking. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to just share two things with you quickly that will help you to get rid of those toxic thoughts. And number one, they're on the screen. I would encourage you to take notes. And if you don't want to, I still want to encourage you to take notes, okay? Man, it's so good to be back. I love our church. How many people love our church? Just love our church. Just know that God has great things for us. He has great things for you, okay? So how do we deal with the stinking thinking, the toxic things? First thing you need to do is you need to identify. You got to begin to look and talk what you're thinking and identify and reject those toxic thoughts. So what we must do is we must identify the thoughts that don't line up with God's truth, because we have a lot of thoughts that go through our head throughout the day that don't line up with God's truth. And what we got to learn how to do is reject those thoughts. So how important is this? I think Solomon figured it out years ago. Look at the verse, Proverbs 23:7. Can we read that together? Is everybody comfortable with that? If you're not, just don't read, okay? Let's read this together. For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Let's do that one more time. I love listening to you guys speak the word. For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. What's Solomon saying here? He's saying that our thoughts determine, can be a big determination of who we become. Your thoughts can be a big determination of who you become. So if we have toxic, stinking thinking, we can become toxic, stinking thinking people. And that's very, very far from being like Jesus. Are you catching me this morning? That's very far from having this life of fulfillment, the abundant life that Christ wants to offer. So what I want to do is, some of you are thinking, what are these toxic thoughts that you're referring to? Mike, I have no clue what you're referring to. Write these down. I just want to share four different toxic thoughts that keep us from Christ-likeness. Number one is negative thoughts. Negative thoughts can be a barrier to helping you grow up spiritually. Negative thoughts. What are some negative thoughts? Let me just share some from people I know. I hear people say, I'll never be good enough. I hear people say, I'll never make it through this difficult season in my life. Some people just have the attitude, the thought process, you know what, I just don't matter. I don't have what it takes. My life is never going to change. It's always going to stink. So let me ask you this question this morning in the solitude of just your mind and nobody else needs to know. My question is this, are you prone to negative thoughts? Because I really believe if we're living in a world of negative thoughts, that's going to be a big barrier that's going to keep us from Christ-likeness. If Paul says we need to learn how to take those thoughts, what? Captive. Okay? So you need to be careful what's going. Do you have negative thoughts? It can be a big barrier. Second type of toxic thought that can hold us back, and this is big for a lot. I think all four of these are big. Fearful thoughts. Everybody say fearful thoughts. Some people just live in fear wherever they turn. They're just fearful, panic, anxiety. You know what I mean? What's going to happen with the economy? What's going to happen with my 401k? I'm paying all this money into Social Security. Is it going to be there when I turn 65? They live in this fear. What happens if my company downsizes? What happens if I get laid off? We live in this fear, fear, fear. What? And then there's some people, get this, married people, There's some single people that have this fear, what if I never get married? What if I never get married, okay? You know, there's even times in my life where I know that I thought Heather said she was going to be home at this time and she's not home yet. I can have a fear that, oh, did she have an accident on the way home from work? And what happens is that fear can begin to grip my life and just really dominate my thinking. Did she have an accident? Is she okay? Do I need to, you know, there was another one night about a month ago, Grant was a little later coming home from work than I thought he was supposed to be home at this hour. It was about 30 minutes later, and I was up, and I called his phone, and no answer. Kids, that's not good. Answer your parents' call. And all the parents said, what? Amen. So I was seriously thinking, okay, I'm going to get my car. I mean, it was like 2:30 in the morning. I'm going to get my car, and I'm going to drive that route because fear just gripped me. Okay? Does that happen to anyone else? Here's a big fear that a lot of parents have. And that is, what if my children get mixed up with the wrong crowd? We have these fear. So let me ask you this morning, have you ever had any thoughts of fear? And I want to say we need to get rid of that junk because those things can keep us from growing up. Those fears can be a big, big barrier that keeps us from the fullness of life that Christ has for us. By the way, I have a great verse for people living in fear. I would highly suggest that you write down this verse, that you go home, put it on a 3x5 note card, and you quote this verse. I know this worked for Heather as a young girl when she was having, bad dreams? And her mother gave her this verse to write down. And I still hear her today quoting this verse from time to time. A great verse for people who have fear, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. You need to put that in your memory bank, in your spirit. Let's all read this together. Is it on the screen? Yes, it is. Let's all read the Word of God together. Go. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. If you're living with a spirit of fear, that's not of God. That's what this verse says. God did not give you this spirit. But that will keep you from becoming all that Christ has for you. So you got to get rid of that. But God has given you a spirit of power. Everybody say that word, power. How many people would rather have power than fear? About 5 of you. That's impressive. And love and discipline, okay? So the first one would be what we said was negative thoughts. Number 2, fearful thoughts. Number 3, here's a big one for Americans. We've got it so good. How many people know we have it good? We have it so good. But here's one that can keep many of us from growing, and it's called discontented thoughts. Discontented thoughts. We're discontented people. We say things like, I don't like the way I look. We look in the mirror, I'm not real happy with the way I look. There was a girl a couple weeks ago at this little mini camp that we had for the Awana kids, and I came in one night, and she looked at me, and she said, Pastor Mike, you have hair growing out of your nose. I said, it's called getting old. Hair stops growing up hair. And it... Is that true of anybody else? Just a few nose hair people. By the way, when you talk to me after church, don't be looking. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But there's things, you know, we compare a lot and we don't like the way if I only looked like him. He's so ripped, he's butt. No. Okay? But we get discontented. Some people are discontented that they can't be happy unless they're with somebody else. Some people are discontented and they're with somebody and they say, that's the wrong person. Oh, my spouse, is that really the right one for me? I want to let you know, yes. Yes. Amen. Let's move on. We can become discontented. I wish my spouse was like so-and-so. Oh, I wish they were like that person. We get discontented. I wish my family, I wish my spouse, I wish we as a family had more money. And what happens is we have so many things, folks. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen. Roof over our head, multiple vehicles, food when we get hungry, wonderful spouses, and then we can go somewhere like I went to Gull Lake this week, and only reason I went is because Heather's parents paid for it. Thank you, Lord. But I looked and I saw all those families and all the vehicles that were parked outside of those cabins, and they were all the top of the line SUVs. And I'm thinking, Lord, I wish I had what they had. And you know what? I really don't. I'm so thankful for what I do have. Amen. I'm so thankful that I have a wife that loves me unconditionally, good friends, great church. And listen to what Paul said. This is a verse that you can put to memory for if you're dealing with discontentment. Let's read it together, Philippians 4:11, everybody together. For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Key word there, Paul says, I've learned it. It's a learned behavior. Contentment a lot of times isn't going to just happen naturally. You've got to learn to be content. So how can I learn to be content? I'll tell you one way is by giving thanks for the things that you have. Giving thanks and begin to count your blessings and say, Lord, wow. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Is anybody else amazed by the goodness of God? Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me, how you care for me, how you meet all of my needs. I don't think I've missed a meal all my life. Just God's been good. But I can look at somebody else and say, wow. And we can't live that way because if we live that way, it will keep us, it will be a what? A barrier. And that barrier can keep us from the fullness of life. We got to get rid of what? The stinking thinking. We got to get rid of the toxic thoughts. We got to take those things captive. And we got to bust through those things because they'll just wreck your life. I want to let everybody know there's always going to be someone who has more than you materially. But I tell you what, if we have Jesus, if we have the Holy Spirit, we've got everything we need. Amen? Amen. Last one, and we'll move on and we'll wrap this up. Here's a big thing that I deal with, and I'm just going to be so transparent with you that this is one toxic thought that I deal with that I just don't like about myself. But I have a feeling I'm not alone. It's called critical thoughts, critical thinking. I would never do that. How could she dress like that? So we're driving home yesterday and we pull up to the gas pump. A guy gets out of the vehicle that looks totally different than all of us here. All of us here. His style is totally different. I'm not even going to mention the style, but it was just totally different than all of us. And I can look through that windshield and think, what is going on with that guy? Why? Because it's very easy for me to be critical. And I'm not going to say God spoke to me, but I had an impression in my heart. God saying, I love that guy. I love that guy just as much as I love the whole world. That I sent my son Jesus to die. Amen? And we can get critical. How can she wear that? How could they have done something so stupid? Come on, you guys. I don't think I'm alone with that one. How could they be so, we're not allowed to use that word stupid, but forgive me, okay? Don't raise your hands today because I think we mostly, all of us would, except a few of you saints with a halo. How many people can catch yourself being critical from time to time? Don't raise your hands, but I'm really critical that you didn't, okay? But we got to break through these barriers. We got to break through these thought processes. In our life, we got to be able to break through these barriers so that we can get over here and become more like Jesus and live in that place of fulfillment and joy, being more like Him. So the first thing we have to do, we have to identify those things. Step two, and it'll be a lot faster. Step two is we must replace those toxic thoughts with the truth. We must replace those toxic thoughts with the truth. The Apostle Paul, writing a letter to the church in Philippi, chapter 4, verse 8, he's concluding his letter to believers. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, everybody read this line together. Think about such things. One translation says, think about the best, not the worst. Think about the beauty, not the ugly. Think to praise, not to curse. And I think what Paul is saying here is that we need to learn how to focus our thoughts on the best things, the beauty, the truth. We need to begin to replace those toxic thoughts And I'm not just saying, be very careful you don't misquote me here. I'm not saying replace positive or negative with positive. We're going to a whole different level. I'm saying replace negative with the truth of God's word. There's a big difference. I'm not saying, oh, you got to have more positive thoughts. I'm saying what you need to do is you need to know the word of God, and you need to replace negative with the truth that is found in the Holy Scriptures. There's a major, major difference. Okay, is everybody with me? Say, you betcha.
You betcha.
All right, I'm glad you're here, man. We're loving life. So there's two things we need to do. You need to remove the toxic thoughts, and then you need to align yourself with God's word. So when I'm being negative about myself, I can begin to speak God's word. I'm more than a conqueror. If God be for me, who can be against me? Are you seeing what I'm doing here? I'm not replacing with just positive. I'm replacing it with the truth of God's word. So what we need to do is we need to be people who are in the word of God. And when you find those promises, those little nuggets, write them down, put them on a 3x5 notebook card, and begin to memorize that, because the enemy wants to build you up or defeat you. How many people would vote for defeat you? He came to kill, steal, and destroy. Defeat. And God wants you to, he come to give you a life and life abundant. So we need to know the word. We got to be people who are rooted and grounded in the word of God. Too many of us are attending Bible-believing churches where we don't read the Bible. And that's a very sad place to be. We need to attend Bible-believing churches where we read our word throughout the week. So we can replace negative, I'm a loser, with God is for me, who can be against me? And there's so many promises, there's so many truths that God shares about who we are in his word. But so many people are, the barrier is remaining because you don't know how to break it down with the truth of God's word. You got to be in the word. We're not saying be in the word legalistically. We're saying be in the word so you can be free. Amen? There's a big difference. Maybe you're having those fearful thoughts. You can begin to quote the verse we just read. God, you haven't given me a spirit of fear. So I'm not going to live in fear, but you give me a spirit of power and love. And God, that's the way I'm going to respond and react today, not according to fear, but according to what you have done in me. You have given me a spirit of power. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And sometimes you just got to walk around talking to yourself. It may look crazy. People in next pull up next to you at the stop sign. What's going on over there? Revival. Folks, we can't downplay the power of God's word. And when we do, we're in deep weeds. God's word is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's power. There's power in the word. Everybody say power.
Power.
Say it like it's powerful.
Power.
Power, okay. Yes. Discontented. When that lie comes and, oh, Lord, I don't have what so-and-so has, I can quote verses like, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. So we're identifying the lie, and we're replacing it with the truth of God's word. We're standing on the word. Last one, critical thoughts. That person, I don't, oh, what's wrong with them? The truth is, God so loved the what? The world. That he gave his only son, that whosoever would believeth in him would have eternal life. And so what I'm saying, if we're going to remove the barrier that can keep us from what the Lord has for us, we need to identify these negative thoughts, these stinking thinking. And you got to be rooted and planted on the word. I just encourage you. We have a reading program in the bulletin every week. You can start any week. You can start in any book, in the mid-book. You can start any time. Read that chapter. Let the word of God get in you. Folks, we were never meant to live without spiritual nourishment. None of us would think about going a week without eating. How many people's stomach just growled just thinking about that? The same thing is true spiritually. We were never meant to go through a week without being in the word of God. You say, well, I don't know how to do it. Just pick it up and begin to read for 5 minutes. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. I'm just saying this not to be condemning or critical or legalistic. I'm saying this that the word of God is your friend. Amen? And what a lot of us need to know is we need to replace thinking with the truth of God's word. So my concluding question is this. Is there any area of your life that you need to replace toxic thoughts with the truth of God's word? Is there any area of your life where you need to replace that stinking thinking with the power of God's word? And my thought is, why don't you start today? Why don't you start today saying, Lord, I'm going to memorize one verse a week. I remember when I was like 19 years old in the Air Force, I had a friend, and this friend and I said we were going to memorize one verse a week. They would choose a verse one week, I would choose the next. We'd take it on a 3x5 notebook card, and there's many times that verse didn't mean much to me, but I tell you what, over a period of 30 years now, I'm still quoting some of those verses that from 30 years ago, we started to memorize as friends. It works. Because the enemy comes at me sometime like a flood, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he attacks my thought process just like you. And what you need to be is you need to be battle ready. You need to be battle ready, and you need to have the word of God in your heart, in your mind. And there's times where it needs to come from your lips. Is everybody hearing me? You got to speak it. It's got to come from your lips, and there's great victory in the word of God. Amen? I want you guys to be victorious. I want you to be more and more like Christ. I want you to be growing up. But here's going to be one of your biggest enemies right here, your thoughts. Your thoughts. But we can have victory over our thoughts through God. Amen? Let's give God a hand this morning. All right. Amen. Lord, may our hearts be filled with gratitude. As we look at your faithfulness, we get thrilled. As we look at all that you have blessed us with, Lord, may those blessings not harden our heart, but may they soften our hearts towards you, the provider of every good and perfect gift. So, Lord, forgive us for toxic thoughts. Forgive me for the times that I'm critical. And, Lord, I just pray, God, that we'll begin to think and our thoughts would line up with your word. We're so grateful today for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that you will continue to do. Thank you, Lord. Help us to break through this barrier that would keep us from the fulfilling life, from being more like you. Help us this week when those thoughts come our way, that we'll know the word and stand against them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for this church. We thank you for the love that we feel here, your presence that we feel here, the exciting things that you're going to do even this week. Thank you for raising up people that we don't even know that are providing some of our needs. I mean, how crazy good is that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift of all, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ, coming to earth over 2,000 years ago with one mission in mind, and that is to go to the cross, to die for our sins that separate us from a holy, just God. And Lord, simply through repenting of our sins and turning from sin and turning to you, we could be a new creation. We can have life new. We can have life abundant and full. So if there's anyone here today, Father, who's never made that step, who's never surrendered their lives to you, I pray that this would be the day, this would be the week that they would consider repenting of their sins and turning towards you as the Lord, the Savior of their lives. Lord, I just want to just say how good you are, and I just want to applaud you in my heart and with my hands. God, that you are amazing, and I thank you for this day. Be with people as they go. Be with families as they go. And we thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a great, great Sunday together with friends and family.